This morning, as we stop and think about the two believers that were traveling on the road to Emmaus, we stop and we think about, first of all, last Sunday, Easter, and we know that everything had happened. The tomb was empty, and Jesus was not there, and we know that he had risen from the dead, and so the day is progressing out. There's so much going on that day. It took us 2 days to do it. And I would imagine we would think it would take three to get that in if we had been there. I can't imagine all the activities that had occurred in that one day. But we know that the disciples went back. Jesus had appeared to Peter. Things had begin to happen. And if you stop and you think about this story, folks, I find myself in this story so much. I find myself in the story of Jonah, too, that we're going into because, I mean, you know, it's just every time I get up here to preach on Sunday, I think about myself. I don't think about y'all and what Diane was telling me this morning to be preaching to somebody else. I said I could preach to Diane, couldn't I? But I don't think about that, folks. I think about preaching to myself, and I put myself in the story that we're talking about on Sunday morning. You see, as we begin the story, we're going to see that the followers of Christ had turned from Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that picture? Well, you say, well, Mike, I don't know. They probably lived in Emmaus, and they're going back home, you know. Well, that's probably might have been the truth. But there's a few things that is wrong with this picture. And this is where we're at today, folks, with our churches and with our people and with the people that call themselves Christians. And so we want to stop and we want to look at some of this morning. Luke 24, starting with the 13th verse, reading through 35, I guess. Is that where we're at? The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And then one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "Well, what things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and our religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who would come to rescue Israel. All this happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels and told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that was prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus, and the end of the journey, Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scripture to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, there's a lot here to be talked about. You could take a whole month to talk about this one little passage of scripture that we just read. But just for a little few little things on a short course, let's just stop and think for a moment. We said there's a few things wrong with this picture. Well, we got these people that are followers of Christ. Who are we? We're followers of Christ, right? Everybody here today would claim that they are a follower of Christ. I know I would. There was a time when I came to church, maybe I was at church, and I did not claim to be that follower of Christ. I was there just so Brian could see me. I was there just for the show, and that was it. I didn't go out on Monday morning and claim that I was in church on Sunday and that I was a follower of Christ. But these guys were so, they had been with the disciples. You know, we sometimes are not in what you'd say, well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the song leader, I'm not the Sunday school teacher, but you're following, aren't you? And you know what's going on around everything. You're just as important as the preacher, you're just as important as the Sunday school teacher or whoever it might be in your church, folks. But these people that we know were followers of Christ had left Jerusalem going to Emmaus. You see, and this story doesn't stop with them just going back home. It says as they go, they're discussing all the things that had happened, and they were disappointed, very much disappointed, because Jesus had come, they had placed him on a cross, they'd killed him, and we thought he was going to be the one to save Israel, and he wasn't. And they're all disappointed. They're all caught up in their own little world. Do we, as Christians, get caught up in our own little world every day? Do we feel sorry for ourselves? My world don't deserve to be like this, you know. Don't we? We all do, folks. And this is exactly where these people were. They were on the road discussing the things that had happened. Jesus drifts in, starts walking with them. Them not recognizing him, because they were like the blind man. They were blind. Their eyes had been closed. God had not allowed them to recognize Jesus. But they didn't even desire to think that that was Jesus. They wasn't even thinking about him. They knew he had risen. They knew that he was alive. But they weren't thinking about this man right here being the Christ. They were just all wrapped up in themselves. And Jesus begins to talk to them. And as he talks to them, he says, look here, guys, I'm going to show y'all something. I'm going to show you through the scriptures. I'm going to quote to you. I'm going to tell you about the scriptures. I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to bring you through the scriptures, and I'm going to tell y'all what has happened. Because evidently, being followers of Christ, you haven't been informed about what the scriptures said would happen in the Old Testament. The prophets, a bunch of the prophets had prophesied from Genesis all the way through, like we were said out here in Zechariah and Malachi in the third chapter. It talks about Jesus' coming and his being raised from the dead throughout the Psalms, Psalm 16, Psalm 100. I mean, there's different places, folks, you can go to read about this. But these people were like a lot of church folks, and like a lot of preachers, Mike included. They lacked the knowledge that they needed. to be where they needed to be as they walked in the presence of Christ. So we see many, many preachers, Sunday school teachers, and church people just like these people right here. We see people that Jesus is trying every day to open their eyes. Some open their eyes. Some, their eyes get opened in different ways. Some never ever realize what having their eyes opened would do for them. Some never take it literally, that they just listen to it, they hear it, but they never live into it. Folks, we had a risen Christ. They had seen the risen Christ. The disciples get to see the risen Christ later today, at this tonight. They had a risen Christ. This dude, Brian's died. This dude's come back, and I'm looking at him, and I know that he's alive. I'm seeing him. They had this to look at. Today, we do not have him physically to look at. So if we don't have a risen Christ to look at, how do we get people to believe? How do we get people to hear this story, believe this story that God is alive? How in the world could we ever do that? Well, there's Christians. There's people that called followers of Christ. People are looking at every one of us every day. They're looking at us, and they're watching us. And through their eyes, watching us, they see Christ. We are the alive Christ in us. He is alive, folks. He lives within us. We know that. We know that because the Scriptures tells us this, that He is alive and He lives within us. We know that some 50 days after He appeared, He arose, that He day of Pentecost, He poured out the Holy Spirit upon everyone. And everyone received the Holy Spirit that believed and was baptized. They knew that Christ was alive. You see, that story never ends. At that given time, the day of Pentecost, there was a lot of people there that had seen Jesus. They could testify that He was alive. Today, we don't physically get to look at Him. But folks, we got the most wonderful story that ever was. That story started some 2,000 years ago. And I've got a bunch of stories. I can tell you story after story after story of my life. And I like to tell them, you know. But my story's in. I mean, David knows a whole lot of my stories, and he'll tell you they start and they stop because it was a story and it went there and it ended. But guess what, folks? Jesus' stories never end. They continue every day. From now on, they continue. Awesome, awesome stuff that He has given us this opportunity to know this story, to tell this story. And as they, we know in the story, as they recognized Him, they didn't recognize Him on the road until they went home. But we know as they were getting closer to home, that their hearts burnt within them. They had a feeling about this person that they wanted Him to come and to be with them. Come on home with us. Stay with us. Talk to us. Teach us some more. They wanted and understood that they wanted more of whatever this guy has. And today we have that same opportunity, as we've said before, that you have the opportunity to give more to your Lord and Savior in your relationship, and you will receive more as you give more. He will pour out upon you more than you can ever believe. But they offered Him to come home with them. He goes and He sits down at their table. You know, we don't just invite everyone to go home with us, do we? We might pick up somebody today somewhere, and we might think about, this guy's pretty good fellow and seems to be okay kind of guy. But do you take him home with you? No, we don't. because we're told today in the world that we live in it's unsafe. It probably is. You never know who you might be taking home with you. Occasionally we stumble up on someone that we become friends with through a casual meeting of something like these guys did. But they took him home and they set him at the table. I wonder where he sat at the table. I wonder if they give him the head seat. It really doesn't matter, but I just wonder what kind of confidence they had put into this man. Because usually I like to sit at the head of the table at my house, kind of, sort of. I got a place there, you know, you kind of call the head of the table. That's where I like to sit. And when somebody else sits there, it don't really bother me, but I think, that don't look just right. Isn't that right? That's the way it is. So I wonder, where did they place this man when he sat down? Did they allow him just to choose the seat? Did he choose the head of the table? You know, a lot to think about here, folks. But as we come this morning to the communion table, we know that when he placed himself at that table, he blessed that bread. I wonder if he took that upon himself also to bless the bread. Or did they ask him to bless the bread? A lot of things that I wonder about. Y'all may think I'm crazy. I don't know. But I'd like to think about these stories and how they played out. And as he blessed this bread, Brian, if you'll come and help me, we'll move right into communion. But you have to stop and think, folks. As he blessed this bread, he takes the loaf of bread. He reaches and he gets the bread, just as Brian's fixing to do. And he breaks the bread after blessing it. Now look at Brian as he breaks this bread. There's nothing unusual about the way Brian broke the bread, same way I would break the bread. But there was something a little different about Jesus as he broke that bread. And what happened? Their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. He took the cup. And he says, this is the cup. This is a cup, the new covenant between God and my people, sealed with my blood. Amen. If you have your cup and would like to take your wafer, me and Brian will be taking the bread. But before we do, it's while you're getting your wafer out, let's bless this bread and this cup. Father, again, we come as just as Jesus did that night as he broke the bread and blessed the bread. We bless this bread, Father. We thank you so much that you allow us to have part of your body and part of your blood, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you, we can feel you, we can taste you, and you are alive to us today just as we were. You were that day to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for allowing your spirit to live within us. We thank you so much as we take the cup and the bread. Amen. Blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. If you would stand, those that can, and let's repeat the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, just as trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. You know, folks, I hope today as we go out and we think about the road to Emmaus, there's many, many things that can be said about it. But I hope today that your eyes are opened this Easter season. Your eyes have been opened to a risen Christ. I hope that you have maybe not physically been with him, but spiritually I hope he has spoken to you in a way that you can always, always remember. Folks, he is alive today, just as he was that day. He's with us every day. And it tells us in James, in the book of James, that let everything that comes before us, it might be good, it might be one of the best days in your life, or it may be one of the hardest. But he tells us what? To let it be of joy. To let it be of joy. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? But that's knowing that Christ is walking with us each and every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.